This is a picture of Christ nailing on the cross. If I ask you to give a name for this picture, what would you give? To me, I'm thinking of a mystery, a great mystery. If you think deeply about who he is nailing on the cross, I think when the disciples saw Jesus nailed on the cross, deep in their hearts, they will ask one word: why? Why? We don't understand. Today, many people can use AI to generate pictures. Imagine a child holding up a 10-ton truck. You may say, it's impossible. No child can lift up a 10-ton truck. It's impossible. Or when you see a beautiful girl kiss an ugly old beggar, you say, oh, it's a horrible picture. It won't match. To me, it's similar. Because when you know Jesus, he's a morally good man. A good man shouldn't be treated like this. Why? And if you know more about Jesus, wow, he has supernatural power. He can calm the storm. He can heal the sick. He can raise dead people from death. He can cast out demons. He is so powerful. Why he becomes so weak on the cross? If you are a detective or investigator, you further investigate. Who is he? What has he done? He has done good things. Why people nailed him on the cross? It shouldn't be like that. And if you know more about the identity of Jesus, he's the Son of God. He should have received glory and honor. He should be well protected by angelic beings, angels surround him. When we see the Son of God, we should see him sitting on the throne. We should see people coming to bow down and worship him. So if Jesus is sitting on the throne, this is right. A powerful, strong man shouldn't be treated like this. An important man shouldn't be nailed on the cross. We expect him sitting on the throne instead of nailing on the cross. So this is a great mystery. We will ask why. A morally good man died on the cross, suffering, bearing all the shame. What is a cross? Cross is a torture equipment. And people nailing on it should be the criminals, worst criminals, suffering the shame and death and bleeding to death. It shouldn't be happening to such a good man, important man. This is a mystery. God, what is in your mind? Why do you allow such thing happen? Now today, let's try to think about this in a different way. If you study philosophy, people say when you study philosophy, the love of wisdom in university, very likely, in the first few lessons, they will give you such problem. This is called the trolley problem. Now, imagine this trolley coming very quickly. We can't stop it. So if the trolley is going this way, but you are there, if you pull that thing, the trolley will go the other way.
Now, I'm going to ask you, would you pull it? Imagine there are five sheep here, but there's one sheep there. If you are not pulling that lever, the trolley goes straight, it's going to kill five sheep. But if you pull it, the trolley will go that way and kill only one sheep. Now I'm going to ask you, would you pull it? Okay? I give you 5 seconds. If you pull it, you just raise your hand. If you don't pull it, that's fine. No right or wrong, okay? No right or wrong. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Raise your hand higher, I can see. Okay, so let me ask you, why do you pull? Sheep, you mean?
Sheep.
Okay, so you want to spare the 5 sheep to save 1 sheep? Spare the 5, but kill 1 sheep only, right? Okay. Now let's be the next step. This time it's not sheep. This time are real people. 5 people here, 1 people there. So now this is about life or death. Okay? I count again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Who is not pulling? Someone not pulling? Okay. Can you tell me why? What is your reason?
I can't decide people's life or death, so I don't make decisions.
You don't make decisions, but you have made your decision not pulling it, so the trolley will go this way. Okay, but why, when just now you put up your hand, why did you put up your hand?
I think there are two clear choices. So even if you don't pull it, that's your choice to kill the 5 people. And if you pull it, that's your choice to kill 1 person. And I think killing 1 is better than killing 5.
Killing 1 is better than killing 5. Okay. Now, let me tell you, most people choose to pull it. That is, most people try to save 5, but to kill 1. Okay, so this is about making choices. Even though you are doing nothing, but you know that people may ask you, you are not doing anything, that means you are killing this 5. So by not doing anything, you kill people as well. By pulling it, you kill 1. By not pulling it, you kill 5. But I can change it the other way around. I pull this to save 5. So people argue, should I pull it? I shouldn't take part in murder other people. Now, this is philosophy. They try to argue, what is your point of view? Why do you do it? Why don't you do it? Who is right or who is wrong? This is philosophy. But we Christians have something higher. So I ask myself, do I do it? What is my reason? Should I do it or not? Now, let me make it more complicated. Save 1 or save 5. So just now, some people say, I pull it so that I save this 5. Not pull, the car will go that way. You pull, the car will go that way, you kill 1. Now, I'm going to make it more complicated. How about these 5 are criminals? Murderers. They should die. Would you still think saving these 5 criminals is good. Again, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So when you lift your hand, you say, I'll save these 5 criminals. Okay? Hitler may be here, you save him. But remember, in the Bible, David killed people. He murdered Uriah, in a way, planned his murder. Samuel killed some kings, Israel's enemies, isn't it? So just by the act of killing people, does it mean he won't have a good future? If you killed David when he committed sin, what does it mean? Think about it. If you save that one, how about if that one is Hitler? We don't know, isn't it? It's not that simple, isn't it? We just count the number. We never think about who that person is, what he has done. Does he deserve to die? Is he a good man or bad man? You see, it's very complicated. How about 5 old people? Now these people are in their 90s. Do you still want to save? This is a young man. He may have a lot of future, maybe in his 30s. These 5, 90s. If you save them, they may live 1 or 2 years more. Do you think life depends on how long you live? If they are 90s, does it mean, you better die? You have no reason to live anymore. So if you are there, seeing 9 old people there, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I see only 1 people pulling up your hand, okay? So John thinks saving 5 old people still works. Okay. Now, make it more interesting again. Very sick people. Very, very sick. You know, when COVID-19, you have only 1 breathing machine. There's 1 very sick people. There's 1 young man there. You know what the doctor will do? He will use his judgment. This is an old man, this is a young man, only 1 machine, I can only save 1. He will put the machine to save the young man. That's the doctor's decision. Because the young man has more chance. Wow, does it mean old man has no use at all? Think about the saints when they are old Jacob. Does it mean when people get old, he has no value at all? Or he become more precious in God's sight? Does it mean young people is always more important? Who can make such decision? Can you judge by just looking at the age? Old man, young man, who is more valuable? When you say he's a good man, would he be good to the end? We don't know. So many unknown. Now, how about this is someone you know, you love? And the train is going there, ready to raise your hand again. Someone you know, someone you love. Would you save someone you love? Just now you put your hand. John, I'll see. How about someone you know and you love? Would you pull that again? Okay, make you very difficult, very difficult. Imagine this is someone you know and you love. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Only 2. That means you pull it, you sacrifice your loved one to save the others. Wow. Sacrifice your loved one. It's not easy. Depends on how much you love that person, isn't it? So, when you think about this life and death, when we think this is like a balance, you are thinking of who is more important in my heart. And also there's a time factor. When you say this is a good person, who knows? If we read the Bible, Saul in the beginning was a very good man. But later on, as time passed, he turns to become a bad person. We don't know, isn't it? When we say, he's a good man, I should save him, sacrifice this 5. But he may turn out to be a bad person. We don't know, isn't it? And because we can't tell, he may be a good one in the past, but in the future, who can tell? When you say, oh, Saul in the New Testament, oh, he is a bad man, he persecuted Christians. But after 10 or 20 years, God changed him. He became the Apostle Paul. So when you think he's bad, he can be good. In other words, our human judgment has limitation. We can see him now, but we don't know about that person in the future. When you say this is a bad guy, he may become a very good man. When you say this is a good man, he may turn up to become a really evil guy. For me, the conclusion is, I don't know which is right or wrong, because I may save the wrong person, the so-called wrong person. I don't know. And I can't judge you. Because you say you may have a silly reason. Oh, I like him, therefore I sacrifice this 5. You may have a silly reason, but in the end, you may have done something right in terms of your decision may turn out to be a good decision in the end. So just using human wisdom, we can never say which is the correct decision. Because we don't know about that person, that we don't have time to make such investigation. We don't know that person that much. We don't know about the future, what will happen to that person. There are so many unknown when we make decision. So we don't know what is the best, so-called the correct decision. Because we are human. There are so many things that we don't know. Now, finally, another question. If you are the one here, you have a chance to shout, you are not there, you are here. Would you say, save me? If Rebecca is here, Jessica is here. Pull it, save me, sister. Oh, and then Jessica, I need to save the 5. Sorry, Rebecca. We don't know, isn't it? So if you are here, you desperately want people to choose you to save you, isn't it? But if you are here, it would be very different. Or would you say, oh, I'm ready to meet my God. That person has no chance. Okay, I want to sacrifice myself, pull, to save that person. Would you do that? We don't know. So there are so many alternatives. So I think this trolley problem quite interesting. If you put yourself here, or here, and what would you think and what would you say is so different. Now, this is not a philosophy lesson. We want to know about God Himself. Why was then we will ask, what did God do? Think about the cross I mentioned just now. Why would God put Jesus? As if God has to make a choice. Why would God put Jesus, allow Jesus to die on the cross? And why? In Romans 8:32, it says, God, what did God do? He who did not spare his own son. Remember just now the trolley problem? There's one tied up here, all the people, the five down here. As if God is pulling that thing. God did not spare his own son. He saved many, but delivered him up for us all. So you ask God, what would you do? If the one tied up there is your beloved son, did God pull that? Yes, he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall not he with him also freely give us all things? So, but the most important part is he did not spare his own son. So what did God do? He pulled as if he did not spare his own son. Why? Jesus is morally good. Jesus is God's beloved son. We are the wicked one. You are the, or we are the one tied up by sin. We are the sinful one. We are worthless, sinners, deserve to be punished and die. We have no future. We should live in shame. We should be nailed on the cross. We deserve to die. Jesus deserved to live. We are weak, he is strong. We are nothing, he is God's beloved son. Why? Mystery. Why would God save him? Did not spare him for us to deliver us? Why? Even though we know God's choice, we still ask why? Isn't Jesus more precious than all of us together? In Romans 5:8, God tells us, God demonstrates his own love towards us. In that way, we're still sinners. Christ died for us. So that mystery picture we saw in the beginning, why this morally good with supernatural power man, Son of God, should be sitting on the throne, become sinners for us, died for us as a, die for us sinners. What did God want to show you? Sometimes in a movie, a guy wants to show his love to the girl. Oh, this is the diamond ring to show my love to you. Oh, these are the beautiful flowers. I give this to you, showing love. But how would God show his love to us? Died for us. So this mystery picture becomes the most beautiful picture because it speaks of love. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of God value you, loves you, care about you. He said his son died on the cross for you. Who are you? You are nothing.
But Christ cared about you, died for you. So you would say, well, does all this love story has to end in death? Why would all this love story we hear about, and they live happily ever after? Why should there be death? Because death is the most horrible thing that can happen to you. And to save you from death, it involves the death of someone who loves you more. So love, death is not the end, because there's love in God's heart. This love can conquer death itself. So it seems death can bring an end to all things. Love, as long as we live, we can love one another. But when death comes, the love relationship breaks. Death can stop all things as if. But in God's heart, love is stronger than death. He can overcome death for you and me. Death cannot stop Jesus. Death cannot stop God to love you. So that picture, why, tells us a great love. And in here, John 12, 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Yes, we see death of Jesus. A grain of wheat dies. But in God's heart, that is not the end. Because the death of Christ brings out, produces much grain. So God is doing a miracle. This miracle is when Jesus is willing to die for us. He gave his life to us and changed our life. He is the grain with life inside, but when he dies, we accept him, we receive life as well. Remember the picture just in the beginning, the trolley problem? The people tied up on the track. We were sinners tied up by our sin. We can't save ourselves. We are facing death anyway. The trolley is coming. The punishment is coming. I'm going to die. But because Jesus is willing to die, he set me free. I'm free from all the bondage. And not only free, I receive life. He has given me his life, a better life, a life free from sin. And more than that, why would God allow Jesus to die? But in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, but when we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. When he's willing to die for us, willing to suffer shame and death, he resurrected and God gave him glory and honor. So that is not a sad story ending. Jesus risen from the dead. That is what Easter about. That is what Easter Sunday. Jesus conquering death.
that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Oh, because of his love for us, he tastes death for you and for me. Someone willing to taste death for you. Think about it. Who will taste death for you? For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory. So it's not just giving me a new life, but also bringing many sons. We become the children of God, and God is bringing us into glory. I was the one tied up on the track. God's judgment is coming. I should face death. I should face shame. I should face eternal punishment. I should suffer. But because of that, God did not spare his son. All the punishment come upon Jesus on the cross. God's righteousness, God's judgment come upon him on the cross. I was spared. I was set free. And more than set free, God is leading me into glory. I should be living in shame. I should be living in pain. But I have such glorious hope now. Why? 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 Because of what God has done for me. So this Easter Sunday, it's good to think about what does it mean when Jesus died on the cross. So I hope this will remind us what God has done for us. He tasted death, Jesus Christ tasted death for everyone, to bring us into glory. Where are you heading? Are you still tied up on the track? Do you know what God has done for you? Would you like to receive him as your personal savior? How can you refuse or reject it? Love like that. If someone loves you that much and you rejected it, such an offense to that person, isn't it? When someone has done so much, suffered so much, loved you so much, and you pay him no attention. How would you respond to that love? May this love story continue in your life. Do you love him? Yes, we love him. We follow him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we think about the cross. Think about the Son of God died for us on the cross. Taste death for us. We thank you for your great love that has been demonstrated on the cross. We want to respond to you and say that we love you. We thank you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.